T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Time's yours today at 1:45. Anything from life, sports, or otherwise, anything from our show you want to react to, time's yours today at 1:45. That phone number is always 215-625-6550. Get the calls into the Time's Yours line. Best of the best played today, as they are every weekday on our show at 1:45. All right, Ray Dittinger to join us in a matter of moments. We'll head back to the phone calls. In the meantime, 888-729-9494. Manny Machado off the board. Kawhi Leonard off the board, both for now. We'll see if the Sixers and Phillies have a shot when they become actual free agents. John not happy at all that the opportunity has passed the teams by. It really doesn't bother me in the least, honestly. It really doesn't. I think the teams were wise to hold a certain line. Let's go to Jared, who joins us. Jared, you're on WIP.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Jared.
Just want to wish a happy birthday to my dad, first and foremost, today.
Happy birthday to your father.
Appreciate that. We're talking everything about sports, so couldn't thank him enough. So we'll talk about the Machado situation.
Yes.
Listen, we're going to see how bad these guys want the Machado and whoever it is if it's the Sixers at the end of the season. They're going to have an opportunity to go spend the money that they say they have. And I think that there's no excuses now. And I think that now they have a better chance of going to a couple mid-level guys to really help carry this Phillies team deep into the postseason. I don't think they can go very deep, but I think they can win a series or two if they get a couple good pieces in there.
Listen, they could win zero series. They could win three. Baseball is a crapshoot in October, and it becomes wild. It's like a tournament. I mean, you know, that's what it is. All right, Jared, who best portrayed someone in real life the best?
Yeah, so I got, how about Ice Cube's son in Straight Outta Compton?
Ooh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was his son.
Oh, okay.
He did a great job, too. Mm. It's a good one.
All right, very good. You got it, man. All right, 888-729-9494. Look who just walked in. Look who's here. Maybe Philadelphia's finest. Mr. Ray Dettinger, how are you, Ray?
I'm good, Joe. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How's the summer treating you, Ray?
Really good. I'm I'm enjoying it. It's busy. I mean, we've got I had to finish up the last lap of the Eagles Encyclopedia Champions Edition, and now we're getting ready to relaunch Tommy.
Ray, let me ask you a question, if I can, about that Eagles Encyclopedia.
So I've been busy.
Yeah,
yes.
No, I can tell. Eagles Encyclopedia. Obviously, it's an opportunity for you. You know, you get to make, you know, some bucks. You get to make some bucks selling the book.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you feel, though, independent of that? A certain sense. I don't know if the word's responsibility, but that this
is... that's a good word.
like a real legacy, lasting thing that you put out there that, like, yeah, the Eagles are going to have more years in the future. And, you know, 50 years from now, three of us aren't going to be alive and all that. But, like, that you get to put a stamp of, like, the Ray Diddy look on Eagles history in the first, you know, 75, 80 years.
Oh, I feel that in a profound way.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I really do. I mean, that's why, you know, when I sat down and I wrote it, I mean, it was a big undertaking because we talked about the fact that I had to write so much of it in a very short period of time right after the Super Bowl to make deadline. I had to write more than 50,000 words in 3 weeks. So that was tough, but I did it. And then sent it away, and then they just sent back to me last week when I was with you guys last week. I told you I was in the midst of reading the page proofs, which means that they take the thing and they print it out on loose pages and then send them all back to you, and you have to reread all of them to try and catch any mistakes, anything that slipped through. So, yeah. I mean, it would have been, if it were just a matter of doing it for the money, I mean, I could have just said, you know, forget the page proofs. Just put it out. I don't want to reread 502 pages again. Whatever's in there, if there's mistakes, fine. I'll live with them.
Right.
Well, I didn't feel that way.
Yeah,
I wanted the book to be as close to perfect as it could be.
That's great.
And when they sent it back to me and reading the page proofs, I got to say, look, in 502 pages, there are going to be a few things.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
But there weren't many. They had done a good job. But there were about a dozen things that needed to be corrected. And I corrected them, and I felt good about it. Like, just to give you an example, people would say, you know, how could possibly you look back at the existing book, you know, what's there to change in the profile of Wilbert Montgomery?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Wilbert Montgomery hasn't played for this team in 35 years. Well, you got to read it again because there was a line in the profile I wrote of him where I referred to him as the Eagles' all-time leading rusher.
And LeSean passed him, right?
Which he was at the time that I wrote that. But since then, LeSean has passed him. So, I mean, I caught that and I changed it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I had read the book between hard covers 2 months from now, and I would have seen that mistake in there, it would have bothered me. So I caught it now. So it's, I mean, I don't know if I caught everything, and I'm sure I will hear from people on Saturdays and Sundays with Glenn. Somebody will say, hey, on page 398, you, and I'm sure that's going to happen because there's an inevitability to that.
Right.
But as much as possible, I've got it right. And it meant a lot to me because, you know, this more than a team that I've covered for a half a century. It's a team I've grown up with.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to do the book, I'm going to try and do the definitive history of the book, especially this year. I want it to be as close to perfect as it could be.
I like that. All right, Ray Diddy in studio, John Richie, Joe DeCamera, Ray Dittinger, 888-729-9494. All right, so Ray, Manny Machado off the board for the Phils, Kawhi Leonard off the board for the Sixers. We've got a Twitter poll question of the day here about, you know, how do people feel, and we've fielded a lot of phone calls. Wise, in your opinion, by these organizations not going all in to acquire these players when the opportunity is there? Because they potentially could be rental situations, 2 months of Machado, one season of Kawhi, or in your opinion, an opportunity gone by?
I'd be disingenuous if I didn't say I feel a little bit of the latter. But I understand in the grander scheme of things, I understand the team's decision. You know, when talking about the Machado acquisition was very tempting.
Yeah, very appealing.
It's very tempting.
Yeah.
Because the guy's an absolute flat-out star. You just envision putting him in the middle of that batting order.
Yeah.
The shortstop third base thing, you can work that out, I suppose. Because right now I don't know that they have a great alternative at shortstop anyway. So it was very appealing. And if they had landed him, heck, they're the team to beat in the National League. I really do believe that. But the idea that I don't think there's any question he's going to go free agent after the end of this year, which he should. I'm sure his agent's telling him that, and he will. And to run the risk of paying the price in terms of prospects that you would have to give up to get him for what may just be 2 months, I understand why they did it. Disappointed? Yeah, I'm disappointed because I was hoping it would happen, but I understand.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, we got this Twitter poll, and again, it's how would you describe, right, John, so how would you describe your feelings about the Phils and Sixers missing out on Machado and Kawhi? And we've got these four choices Seltzer chose. A, happy. B, indifferent. C, upset. D, outrage. Now, if I had to choose one, I would say happy. Not that I wouldn't have been thrilled if they acquired that kind of talent, but happy given the parameters. I didn't want to see the Phillies and Sixers give up it all, you know, give up the farm, so to speak. John's in the A. John's in the D, outrage category. John, where do you think people came down the voting here at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter? So
I would say I'm upset to outrage, but I guess if I had to pick one, it would be outraged.
I think happy, most people, indifferent, upset, or outrage. What's the leading vote getter?
Upset.
Upset is the leading vote getter with what percentage?
Jeez. 37%.
That's pretty close. 40%. 40% are upset.
I know what came in last. Indifferent. Because I don't think anyone's indifferent about this. Someone has, if you're caring enough to listen to this station, you care enough
Ray
to weigh
Diddy,
in on this.
Let me tell you something, Ray. You are the man. You are a savant. You are a gem to Philadelphia. You are wrong about this one.
Really?
Indifferent is in second place with
39%. I'm stunned, too. That surprises me because that's the one I thought people would just blow off. I mean, who's indifferent
about
this?
Well, here's why I think indifferent has this many. These are four weird words to choose. Like, I wouldn't really say my emotion is truly happy. It's what I chose, but it's not really what I feel. I wouldn't say I feel indifferent either. I would say I'm okay with the organization's walking away at the finish line. But, like, okay wasn't a choice. I mean, happy's not really what I feel. I certainly don't feel indifferent. My guess is the 39% of people that said indifferent are like, oh, I'm cool with it, but I don't want to say I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where. But I agree with you, Ray. It's an unusual word. Outrage, 13%. Happy, 8%. Again, that's the Sports Radio WIP Twitter poll of the day, brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park. Let's go to the phones. Ray Dittinger in studio, John Richie, Joe DeCamera, and we talked to Mike and Broomall. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Hi, Mike.
It's an honor to talk to Ray Diddy.
How are you?
Good, Ray. Good, man. I'm actually I'm a Delco boy, so my dad I told my dad about timing. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll buy tickets. We'll go see it.
Oh, please do. Please do. Yeah, we're coming right to you at the Media Theater.
Yeah, my parents actually live in media, so it was actually, we were talking about it the other night. He's like, oh, yeah, we'll go. Sounds like a good idea. So good. We're going to go see Tommy and me. I wanted to go see it, but it was down the city. It's just, it was tough to get down there, but since you're coming to Delco, it's I'm actually excited to go see it.
Good.
It's a good time.
I'll be there, so look me up.
All right, cool. So as far as the Machado and, you know, the Kawhi thing go, the Kawhi thing doesn't bother me as much because I honestly think he's going to go to L.A. no matter where he was going. But the Machado thing, I mean, I don't know what the Dodgers are giving up for him, but, I mean, his place in the middle of that lineup would have just made the entire lineup that much better. Either you put him at third or even hit him clean up, hit him behind Hoskins. You know, you can have Cesar lead off, and then, you know, you can have Franco hit, you know, third or fifth or whatever. It's just, you know, it gives you so many more options for him, you know, to make that lineup so much better.
No, it would have helped this year. There's no question. But it's at what price? That's the, you know.
At what price? Prospects.
Yeah, well, some pretty big prospects.
And those prospects, had they panned out, would not be what Manny Machado is.
But they could. But if they had panned out, you could get great value for them for 6 or 7 years real cheap. And then go out and get two or three other guys.
If. No, yeah, Manny Machado is a certainty. He's a certainty. We know he's a top five player for two months in Major League Baseball.
He's a certainty for two
months.
And
we know that if we bring him here, that gives us the greatest chance of having him moving forward 2019 and beyond.
Listen, it gives
he goes to L.A., they have a greater chance than we do.
I don't make that John, I don't make that supposition.
Listen, that's tempered by the fact, this whole luxury tax thing, that tempers it. But the fact is, he goes out there, they go deep into the postseason, he's going to like that experience.
All right, what if the Phillies go deep in the postseason?
Enjoying his non-experience here.
What if the Phillies beat the Dodgers in the playoffs this year? That could happen. What if the Dodgers don't even make the playoffs? That could happen. Right?
I don't think that's going to happen.
It could. All right, Mike, who best portrayed a real-life person in a movie or TV show?
I love Richie's passion. Congrats to the Seltzer. Kurt Russell or Brooks?
Oh, okay. Good answer right there.
Oh, man.
Appreciate that.
That is a great one.
Yeah.
That is a great one because I can tell you this. I traveled a little bit with the 1980 Olympic team before they went to Lake Placid. So I was around them as part of their U.S. tour as they were getting ready to go.
Yep.
And so I was at a few of their practices. And I can tell you that Kurt Russell's performance as Kurt Russell was Herb Brooks.
Wow.
He was Herb Brooks. And to the point where, and there's nobody, out of all the people that saw this movie, there's probably about, the guys who played on the team and me, I guess, are the only ones that notice this. Russell had Brooks down so totally and studied him so closely that when Brooks would address the squad on the ice before a practice, he would skate in little circles, and he had a bad knee from his own playing career. And he would drag that leg in such a way that he would tap the toe of his right skate as he was skating in these circles. If you watch that movie, Kurt Russell does the same thing.
Wow.
Now, there's nobody else that even would have known that.
No, they wouldn't.
But Russell got it right down to that. And we're not even going to get into the wardrobe, which was unfortunate, but it was also accurate. but that is a great answer.
How about that?
All right, great answer.
94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia live from the Tasty Cake Studios. Show to Cameron, John Ritchie, Ray Denninger. Let's go to Sean in the Northeast. Sean, you're on WIP.
Hey, Joe, John, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Sean. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, Ray, you're one of the best. You're one of my favorites.
Why, thank you. Appreciate that.
Joe, John, whenever I'm at work, I always listen to you guys. When it comes to Manny Machado with the Phillies, I would have liked to have seen him come here before the trade deadline. Not disappointed that he didn't come here. We can always go after him in free agency, just throw the money that he wants at him. The moves that I think that the Phillies should make and what I'm looking forward to is you need help in the bullpen. The San Diego Padres already stated that they want Michael Franco. So you can trade Franco, put a package together with him, get their relief pitcher, Brad Hand, to help shore up your bullpen. For the space that's going to be occupied for your third base, put a package together of prospects, send them over to Kansas City, and get Mike Moustakas.
It's 29 years old. It's certainly possible, yeah.
He's 29 years old. He's finishing up a one-year deal, so it's a contract year. He just set the Kansas City record for home runs in the season with 38. He's got 19, I believe, right now at the All-Star break. So he's young enough. If you like him at third base, you can still extend a contract to him and extend him beyond
well,
the season.
Well, Sean, let me tell you something. You're bringing up something that it really struck me when the news came that the Phillies aren't getting Machado now, which is that it gives Klintak, with still over 10 days to go to the trade deadline, a lot of options to use the players that otherwise would have been in that trade that would involve three or four prospects, maybe even five. Like a lot of options for all the other players in baseball that you can try to target and acquire from, you know, the 10 or 12 teams that are going to be sellers. And I'm very intrigued by that.
I would also, whether it's before the deadline, although I wouldn't know before the deadline, but definitely in the offseason, I would also trade Cesar Hernandez, get what you can for him. If you gave, before he even took a major league at bat, if you gave Scott Kingery that six-year deal, you obviously have enough belief in him that he's going to be your second baseman of the future. Trade Cesar, get what you can for him so you can open up the position so Scott can play his natural position.
I think there's a good chance that happens this offseason. Sean, hit us up here with who portrayed someone the best in a movie.
I would have to go with Johnny Depp playing Whitey Bulger in Black Mass.
All right, you got it, Sean. Thanks for the call, bud. Ray, what hit you? Who portrayed someone the best ever in a movie? Ever? Or a TV show? James, why TV show? You thinking someone in a TV show?
No, I just said at the beginning because we always get in those situations.
But who's ever even portrayed someone in a TV show?
I mean, tons of shows. I mean, they do shows about all kinds of historical figures all the time. The John Adams show, you know, on HBO. I mean, there's a ton of that.
Miniseries, yeah.
Whatever. My point is there is those options.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. The one that jumps out at me, and I hate to keep putting everything in the context of sports movies, but I thought De Niro as Jake LaMotta was just...
Yeah, that came up.
Amazing.
Yep. Yeah,
amazing. And I actually, I think I even told you guys this story that I met LaMotta after the movie came out. He came to Philadelphia and did a comedy set at Palumbo's, which was pretty awful.
Yep, John
said
that.
We did.
Yeah.
But in the course of the interview with LaMotta, we talked a lot, obviously, about the movie. And he just couldn't say enough about the performance that De Niro gave. The point that LaMotta helped train De Niro for the film. And he said, after I worked with him and a couple of other fighters worked with him, he said, De Niro is such a method actor and gets so into what he's doing. He said that by the time they finished, he really thought that he could have been a credible middleweight.
Wow.
That he actually, I'm not saying he would have won the title,
right?
But he actually could have done that, which is quite a stretch because De Niro is not a natural athlete. I mean, if you ever saw the movie Bang the Drum Slowly, where he plays a baseball player,
yep.
I mean, he just has a horrific baseball swing, but he worked with LaMotta long enough and hard enough that he actually became. And if you ever watched any of the old film of Jake LaMotta, how he fought out of the crouch and all, I mean, he had it down. I mean, so that's and the fact that it satisfied LaMotta to the point that he kind of bragged about it tells me that was a pretty good performance.
I like that.
Can I say one thing about prospects, because that's what we're dealing with with Manny Machado. I've never really looked at the idea of prospects the same again. Since, about 4 or 5 years ago, I went and did one of those baseball fantasy camps, and I did the Cincinnati Reds, and I was a staffer, I was a helper, I was a fungo hitter.
You were?
Yeah, just I mean, they needed somebody to throw BP and hit
with
fungos.
The Reds?
Yeah.
Why not the Phillies?
The Phillies staff was, the Phillies didn't, they had a full staff.
Oh.
The Reds were one guy short, and they called me up at the last minute, asked if I'd do it. I said, hey, it's 2 weeks in Florida, I'll do it. So I went down there, and I got assigned to a team, and my pro, the guy I worked with, a guy named Todd Benzinger. You might remember Todd Benzinger, was played for the Reds in the 90s. Wonderful guy. We had a great time together. But anyway, one day we're out there on the field, and our guys are stumbling around trying to warm up and stretch and everything. But meanwhile, on the other field, all the Reds minor leaguers were there. And there was like 60 of these kids on this other field, on this other diamond. And it seems like two-thirds of them were Latin. And, God, they look good. You know, they looked like thoroughbreds, every one of them. They're 19, 20, 21 years old, and they could run, and they could hit, and they could throw. And I'm standing there, and I'm just watching, just like this athletic ability. And I said to Benzinger, standing next to me, he's watching. There's Benzinger, played 10 years in the big leagues. And I said to him, I said, wow, Red's got some really good-looking prospects here. And Benzinger, with no trace of being bitter or anything, just speaking as an old big leaguer, looked at it and said, yeah. Yeah. And if they're lucky, three of them will make it to the big leagues. No, he didn't say that as a put down.
Yeah.
He just said that's the math.
Yep.
That's the reality of it. So you could stand there and look at this field full of guys, and every one of them you'd look at and say, that guy's going to be a star.
Yeah.
Benzinger looks at these 60 guys and says, you know what? And if they're, you know, if they're lucky, three of them will make it to the big leagues. And if you look at where the Reds have gone since then, he's probably right.
You know what, Ray? I mean, I experienced something similar as a player where every year, all the fans, everyone would get so excited about the guys being brought in from the draft, the rookie free agents. They would get there. And this is when you could spend more time with the rookies in the offseason. Right. We would have practices and OTAs all the time. And from, like, the jump, you could see that there were, let's say there's a group of 25 guys. You could weed out 20 of them right away. You'd look at them and be like, well, he fights the ball. You know, like, that's not going to ever work. Yeah, he runs like the wind. He's got all the measurables in the world. He's not going to ever play. Like, he'll be training camp fodder.
Right.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. And this is the guy that everyone's writing about. They're excited. He, look at his college stats and this and that. You knew. You just, there's a cut, there's this unseen cutoff that some people are aware of and some people aren't, and I'm not aware of it in baseball, but I know that there's that same unseen cutoff that these prospects, a lot of them lie below that, and I am not worried about ponying up prospects for this reason.
Let me just say, because listen, what both of you are saying is very compelling, obviously. It's the two-month thing with Machado that rubs me the wrong way for why the, you know, if the Phillies were to go in, which they obviously chose not to, to the Folks. Like, Ray, I get what you're saying, John. I get what you're saying. First off, the easy counter is, hey, Cole Hamels was a prospect at one time. Ryan Howard was. Jimmy Rollins was. Mike Schmidt was. Steve Carlton was a young player that the St. Louis Cardinals gave up, and the Phillies got him for Rick Wise. Like, you know, we all know the deal. Ryan Howard's a prospect, on and on and on and on. So it goes, it cuts both ways.
Sure,
you get, you get your guys that are busts. You get your guys that are stars. You get a
but
whole
more
hell,
of them
whole hell
are
of guys that never even make it.
Stars.
Oh, yeah.
Like, most guys never even make it. Are there more busts than stars?
Yes.
Probably. But it's the two-month thing.
I know, Joe. I know.
You're
I
know not gonna,
if that
you
2 months
you're not
gives you the inside track.
John, you assume that too
if
much.
That 2 months
money is going
in
to talk.
Los Angeles
money.
Gives them the
I'm gonna
inside
do the Johnny,
track.
I'm going to do the Johnny Manziel.
I'm opposed to that.
No, I'm now doing, Ray, you're seeing me. I'm doing Johnny Manziel money sign to John Ritchie right now. I'm doing it right. That's what it's going to come down to. This is going to come down to money. In 4 months, that guy's going to make a decision. And John Middleton still has every opportunity to do the money sign in a room to Manny Machado and say, here, let me do the money sign to you, Manny, and here's $300 million, here's $350 million, here's $400 million. I'm not saying that's necessarily wise, but I am saying that guy going to L.A. does not prevent John Middleton from being in that room and putting hundreds of millions of dollars on a table. James, you agree?
I agree.
That's my point. 2 months, I can't.
Yeah, I'm
get
aware
with that.
That I'm aware
see,
that
saying
that
what you're
is...
saying. Yeah, but that almost makes me think you're arguing against yourself.
Why?
If you really and you, listen, I agree with you. I mean, Middleton will be in that position, but if you feel that he's going to be in that position, then why not take the plunge now?
Because
if it's going to come down to money, and you have the money, then you got to fight your chance.
I'll give you a very direct answer because I don't believe, this is my personal opinion, many will disagree with me, many will agree with me, that's fine. My opinion is that Manny Machado's services for 2 months and potentially a third month in October is not good enough to merit the level of prospects that you can control for 6 or 7 years.
We don't even know what that level was. We don't even know what they were talking
about. But, John,
about.
We know it's pretty high-level prospects. Manny Machado's not getting traded for some bum. He's getting traded for a collection of really good talent. And in my,
we know Adonis Medina, their number two prospect, was included in the deal that supposedly was going to net us Manny Machado on Monday night.
This is all very speculative.
But then we don't know anything else after that, really.
John, you, me, Ray, and 99.9% of us have never seen these three or four or five guys being kicked around ever play baseball. I mean, we don't know these guys. I'm just going off the concept of what a big-time prospect can be. I mean, right? I mean, just, let's be fair. I'm not saying I've eyed these guys up. Seltzer maybe has seen some of these guys a little bit, right, James?
Yeah, I've seen Medina pitch. I've never seen Ortiz hit. I've seen Colome pitch, and I've never seen, I've never paid attention to Gamboa.
I just don't think 2 months is worth giving up the possibility, not only that these guys can hit or fail, but that if they do hit, you control them at a cheap price for 6 or 7 years before they become a free agent, and then you get to sign all these other guys because you're not paying that those players. I mean, think about the value the Philadelphia Phillies are getting right now from Aaron Nola. James, what does he make?
Like $600,000, $700,000, somewhere in that range.
That's you cannot cite Aaron Nola.
Yes, I can.
Aaron Nola, like he's the rest of these prospects.
I don't know what they'll become. No, I disagree,
that is
John.
Aaron Nola is an all-star.
No, but he wasn't originally.
These other guys might never make the majors.
John, he was one of those guys 3 years ago.
I understand that.
I'm pretty sure Medina's a higher-ranked prospect than Nola was at the time.
And J.P. Crawford was ranked higher than both of them.
That's correct. You're right about that.
Sure.
Yeah. And sometimes they hit, sometimes they look. But the other thing on Nola, just to finish that point out, having Aaron Nola, if he's making $600,000, is part of what allows you to pay $30 or $40 million this upcoming offseason for Manny Machado.
I understand that.
I just want to follow that through. Because you're not paying, you don't have Cliff Lee and Roy Allen. I love those guys, but those kind of prices are already here. So
you can't just keep saying, hey, you know what? LeBron's going to end up here. I know it. I know it in my bones. Hey, you know what? Kawhi's going to end up here. Hey, you know what? Manny Machado's going to end up here.
First off, I never said Kawhi was going to be here.
And then not pay the piper. Like, eventually, you have to act. It's not just going to happen. And if you are improving your chances of retaining Manny Machado because of his experience as a player that you had to pony up prospects for, I am all for paying now to ensure a greater chance to retain him later. That's a major factor.
And that's the risk. I understand it. I understand exactly what you're saying. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie, Ray Dininger. We'll keep rocking the calls. Time's yours at 1:45 on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.